Republican Senators Jerry Moran and Mike Lee both pledging Monday night to vote against the GOP health care bill, defections that may essentially kill the plan. The two senators breaking with their party means the latest version of the legislation is well short of the support it needs to pass. The senators walked away from the bill, which Moran says fails to repeal the Affordable Care Act. He blames the closed-door process that led to the plan, while Lee says, quote, it doesn't go far enough in lowering premiums for middle-class families.
And what about Travis? How have things changed since he left as CEO? Where does that leave Uber?
The company is incredibly focused on solving the issues that we have in front of us. We're focused on solving the cultural issues, the leadership aspect we're focused on. All of these sorts of things are our action to start to solve for some of the things that have been exposed over the last few months as issues.
As Beijing gets ready to choose new top leaders, a potential candidate in the city of Chongqing has been put under the spotlight. State media making an abrupt announcement over the weekend saying Sun Zhengcai had been removed as party chief and replaced by an official close to President Xi Jinping, who's been on an anti-corruption crusade since he took power.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's July 18th, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another business day, another edition of The Opening Bell. And we have lots to talk about in our program coming up a little bit later on. Lisa Dress Chrisman will join us from Serafin & Associates, another crisis for an airline, a crisis communications event. We'll go over it, tell you what the latest event involved and how the company handled it a little bit later in the show. In a minute, we'll bring in our first guest. We'll talk about virtual staging of real estate. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Asian shares fell today as setbacks for healthcare overall in the U.S. raised doubts over prospects for a range of reforms backed by President Trump. Expectations the U.S. Federal Reserve will move cautiously in raising interest rates also sent the dollar lower. This morning on the big board, the Japan benchmark Nikkei 225 lost about 0.5%, getting back to business after a holiday yesterday. The yen gained against the dollar. Other markets in Asia are generally mixed to a lower this morning, with the Asian Dow off a few points. The Hang Seng is up just about 54 this morning. Shanghai's up about 11 in Europe this morning. Mixed story as well. The FTSE in London is up, but everything else is lower. All of the big indices are lower, the DAX and the CAC this morning. Futures in this country are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street later on this morning. Dow futures are up 14 points. NASDAQ futures are up 4. S&P futures are up just a fraction. Of course, the big story this morning is health care. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell facing defeat on his Obamacare replacement says he will push now for the Senate to pass just a clean repeal bill. The Republican leader made the announcement in a statement that came a few hours after two more Republican senators dealt a fatal blow to a replacement bill unveiled last Thursday. Senators Jerry Moran and Mike Lee both joined two other senators, Rand Paul, one of the others, and also Maine's senator as well, in opposing this legislation, meaning there were four full votes to block the measure from moving ahead, called the motion to proceed. McConnell, in a statement last night, says, regretfully, it is now apparent that the effort to repeal and immediately replace the failure of Obamacare will not be successful. McConnell says in the coming days, the Senate will consider the House bill with the first order of business, the full repeal of Obamacare. That bill that was put in place initially had a two-year delay. That would give lawmakers apparently 2 years to work on a replacement. Many are already raising some red flags about this, about whether even that can move forward. President Trump is vowing to boost U.S. manufacturing by cutting the trade deficit with Mexico. Trump says no longer are we going to allow other countries to break the rules to steal our jobs and drain our wealth. His words. The U.S. Trade Representative has released an 18-page report about its goals for updating the decades-old North American Free Trade Agreement. In addition to reducing the trade deficit, the administration wants to insert a chapter on the digital economy into the deal. It also deals to strengthen labor and environmental obligations. There's something in the real estate world called virtual real estate, virtual staging of properties. And it's catching on all across the country. It's probably one of the, could be one of the biggest trends in real estate right now, along with drones and other technology. John Bosch is the Vice President of Product Management at VHT Studios. He's with us this morning here on The Opening Bell. Good morning, John.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for being with us this morning. This is kind of cool. Explain to our listeners what virtual staging is.
So virtual staging, what we're, VHT Studios, they will shoot photographs of every room, whether it's vacant, furnished, outdated furniture, or whatever. And using these tools, such as virtual staging, can improve the look of a home or show the layout of a home, and add furniture, remove furniture, paint walls, and things like that.
This is kind of cool because it appears to be done with, I guess what most people might be familiar with is Photoshop. It looks like you've sort of just laid in a layer of all kinds of different things. You can put furniture, you can change colors. Is that a good way of sort of describing it or likening it to something people would be familiar with?
Yeah, a lot of people think it's just Photoshop, but it really goes well beyond that. So it's beyond just laying in furniture, dropping in furniture. There's kind of an art to it, really, because the biggest thing you really want to do is make it look realistic. And everyone has kind of seen bad Photoshop, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But when you do, you use other programs and do it well, you can create shadows and the lighting and the proper perspective and things like that, which really make it much more realistic than just dropping in furniture.
You know, we've put up some photos on Twitter this morning. We're going to put out some more as well. But it is very, it's almost seamless. You can't tell that you've placed stuff in the staging. I want to talk a little bit when we come back from the break about the technology of it, but why is this so important?
It's really to help buyers visualize the space. Most people are starting their search on the internet, and it's easy to move past something if it has no furniture or outdated furniture. And this really helps the buyers envision the space with maybe updated furniture or more neutral colors. So it's really become quite effective.
We often hear that if you have the fresh smell of cookies baking in a home, that'll attract buyers and make buyers more interested. But it's also a proven fact that if you really don't have anything in a house, it's going to turn people away.
It does. And the biggest thing is really because buyers don't always envision the space. In a vacant room, for instance, everyone wants to know where their couch is going to go in the family room or where their bed's going to go and where did they lay it out. And it can be hard to understand that. And then even in a home that maybe has, outdated furniture and things like that, you might move on. You might move on to the next home. And so this really helps you provide a much better look to the home.
John, hang on with us. We're going to take a break. We'll continue with John Bosch, the Vice President of Product Management at VHT Studios in Chicago. We'll talk a little bit more about this technology and how they pull off what really looks like a magic trick in the world of real estate.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, U.S. markets ended virtually flat on Monday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 8 points to 21,629. The Standard & Poor's 500 was off a fraction of a point, and the NASDAQ rose about 2 points to 6314. Walmart has apologized for a racial slur posted by one of its vendors on the retailer's website. The third-party company used the N-word in describing the color of a cap that it was selling through Walmart. The product has since been taken down. Amazon's plan to purchase Whole Foods could face scrutiny from Congress. Democrat David Cicilline of Rhode Island wants the House to hold a hearing on the proposed $13.7 billion deal. He's concerned that it could discourage innovation and hurt competition. And Netflix blew through its original estimate for subscriber growth in the second quarter, signing up just over 5 million users. With Hulu, Amazon, and other providers entering the fray, the competition among internet television services is heating up. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 522. Glad you're here with us. We're on this morning with John Bosch. He's the Vice President of Product Management at VHT Studios. And we've been talking about something called virtual staging in real estate. John, I don't want to give away magic tricks here because no good magician likes to give away their secrets, but how is this done? How do you do this without making it look fake?
Yeah, it's really amazing. The you know, how this works. I mean, really, we can take a vacant room and, you know, using all different kind of decor and styles of furniture and things like that, we can put in the furniture and then, you know, have make sure the lighting is correct and the shadows and the angles. And it's really about putting the right furniture in the right home and making it look realistic. And then really going beyond that, it can take, you know, a home that already has furniture and it can remove the furniture first, and then you can then put in the new furniture and maybe more updated, you know, or painting walls, or, and even if they have, you know, the homeowner has, you know, nice furniture and things like that, they may have a lot of personal effects around that they don't necessarily want to show on the internet. And so we have a declutter service, which you can remove some of those things and kind of depersonalize the space.
Yeah, I can immediately see this would be sort of valuable for, let's say, an executive who has to move out of town very quickly and take everything with them and leave a house open. I can see how that would work. Do you market this to the person selling the home, or is this being marketed to the real estate agent?
We generally market to the real estate professionals. And so, you know, homeowners are obviously going to work with their agents. And then, you know, we work with the agents directly in the brokerages to, you know, provide this service.
What is it when you go in and start doing this? Is there a lot of photographing that happens? Do you have a team of photograph people that come in, or how does it go from beginning to end?
So VHD Studios, we photograph, you know, thousands of homes. You know, every week we're going to come out and shoot the home, and then, you know, we're using those photos to, you know, that the agent is going to market the home. And then in the cases where, you know, the home needs a little update or a little refresh, or furniture added, then we can take those high resolution photographs and then, you know, and work these styles and this decor into the photographs to make it look like it's furnished or more updated.
You know, we have on the past in this program talked about the actual virtual reality staging of homes, where people can actually go into a home and see it from a distance. How will this compete with that, or how will this complement that?
As far as like virtual reality and VR things, yeah, I mean, that's really where it can go from here, where you could be possibly in the space and be able to envision different uses for a room. You know, it might be, you know, viewing it as a bedroom or a home office or with updated walls and things like that. So it can really move in that direction. And certainly, you know, VHT is kind of, you know, on the forefront of that.
Well, here's the money question, John, and that is, if you're selling a home, what's this going to add to this, to the sale price?
You know, it really makes a big difference to be able to attract buyers, attract attention, you know, potentially, you know, competition for, you know, your home, because it's easy to move along. I mean, I recently went through this with buying a home, and it's easy to move along if you don't like something in the photographs, whether it's vacant, as you said, or, you know, it's outdated, and you just kind of move on to the next one. But you really want, you know, as a seller or the agent, you really want to attract the attention to a specific property.
Is, but are the rates, I mean, in terms of rates, does it, was it going to add 1,000, 10,000? What to the price?
Yeah, it definitely can increase it. It's hard to say for sure what that that percentage is. You know, I would imagine though, it certainly can raise the list price or the selling price, just because that additional you know, attention and to detail on the photographs.
Yeah, I would imagine this would be sort of the same thing as providing a little curb appeal in real life, whether it be painting or do a planting or doing some landscaping. It's one of those things you might do to invest in a property to sell it.
Absolutely. And I mean, it can be obviously be very expensive to, you know, to redo your home or, you know, rip up wall, you know, paint walls or, you know, old carpeting or removing furniture. And a lot of homeowners don't want to do that. It's very disruptive. And so this is a good way to show your home. And especially, you know, I think of, you know, if someone using the bedroom, let's say, as a nursery, maybe you don't want to market it that. You want to market it as a second bedroom, you know, or a home office and things like that. And this enables you to show that to prospective buyers.
John Bosch, thanks for being with us this morning here on the Opening Bell.
Absolutely. Thanks, Steve.
John is the VP of Product Management at VHT Studios. You can check them out on Twitter at VHT_studios and online at VHT.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 540. Glad you're here for a Tuesday edition of the Opening Bell. Another crisis situation for another big company. And surprise, surprise, it's another airline. We're going to talk a little bit about how Delta handled an unruly, very popular passenger over the weekend. And Liz addresses with us this morning from Serafin and Associates here in Chicago. Lisa, good to see you again.
Good morning, Steve.
It seems like we're always talking about crisis and airlines, though.
Well, that's what social media has become. And airlines, unfortunately, have become an easy target for usually bad service and very rarely good service.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last time we talked, we were talking about United, but this time it is Delta Airlines. And over the weekend, they had a kerfuffle with Ann Coulter, who is a conservative host and conservative commentator. Tell us what happened there and how Delta responded.
Well, from according to everything that we have read, on Saturday she was on a flight from LaGuardia to West Palm, where she has homes in both cities, and she originally booked a exit row window seat. $30 upgrade for that. We are all accustomed to that. Apparently, within a 24-hour window or something, she changed her window seat to an exit row aisle seat. Along the way, she claimed she was in the boarding area and was waiting, waiting, waiting. And when she got on the plane, she was given a window seat. Okay. Same exit row, mm-hmm. same leg room, same $30 upgrade, but it was back to the window. And we have not heard any reports about this happening on the plane or any outrage or any social media video taken or anything. But apparently after she landed is when she started her tirade of how dare Delta remove me from my pre-booked seat that I spent $10,000 worth of my time to book a seat. By the way, I want to know who she works for getting paid $10,000 an hour to move back to an aisle seat in the same row. And what is even worse is that she took a picture of the woman who was allegedly given her second seat, if you will, mm-hmm. and threw that on social media. What for?
Yeah, these are private citizens. They're not in the public eye like she is. I'm still scratching my head here to figure out what has happened here. I mean, does she have a complaint against the airline, or is she trying to gain a little bit of attention here? That's what I can't figure out.
Again, I'm not an aviation expert, but from what I've read from the Passenger Bill of Rights, airlines still have the right to move passengers around. And if it was from an exclusive seat to maybe a less exclusive seat, I could understand that. It was the same exit row. That's what is mind-boggling. But let's go back to the first thing that you said. Another airline is being slammed on Twitter and social media, and it's becoming almost, is this a norm now? What's the next? American can be next, and et cetera, et cetera. There have been other incidences, but this one is magnified because Ann Coulter, as of yesterday or Sunday, had 1.6 million followers on Twitter. As of last night, she gained 9,000 Twitter followers.
Yeah, I actually was trying to go through some of the tweets that followed. 50, by the way, I think it qualifies as a tweet storm on her part.
Yes. So from the moment that she first tweeted until yesterday at 4 o'clock, she posted 50 tweets. And after that, I can't count.
Mm-hmm. And you've seen Delta's response, too. I didn't think there was anything inappropriate with Delta's response. They basically said what?
Well, Delta learned from United's mistakes, quite frankly. Back in April when United removed the passenger off the plane, it took them a very long time to A, acknowledge the incident, and B, to come up with a response for it. According to what Delta says and according to what we've read, Delta in the morning, Sunday morning, tried to reach out to Ann Coulter unilaterally. And
so
she didn't
privately, privately.
Correct,
yep.
Privately. She didn't respond. I believe they tried to reach out to her through their blog. She didn't respond. So that's when they took to Twitter to give a statement that basically said, we're sorry, we'll refund you your $30, but how dare you lambast our customers or our employees for service that is you know, unilaterally judgmental on your part.
Yeah. And the latest tweet from Ann Coulter, she's posted the stock price of Delta as if to say that all of this has affected Delta in some way, like it did United when they beat up a passenger and drug him off the plane. Not so much.
That's a leap. And if you notice, that tweet was about, I think, seven and a half hours ago, probably right before we went to bed. She has masterfully kept this alive, even when she was mentioned on The View on a 2.5 minute segment on The View yesterday, and she retweeted that and was responding to those things. You know, there's a one thing in crisis communications, you can explain your actions, but when you're defending, you're losing. And one of her tweets yesterday, she said she was criticized for spending hours on Twitter about this. And she said, I only started in a cab ride and periodically checked my cell phone afterwards. Well, as we just talked about, 50 tweets is not just periodically checking your cell phone afterwards.
Yeah, Delta's stock price this morning is not in bad shape. It's at down just about maybe 1% at $54.64 a barrel. Compared to United, after that incident, we saw it lose almost, you know, what, a couple hundred million dollars in market capital.
Right. So the night before the passenger incident, stock prices were at $70.88. A week later, it dropped to $67.75. Last night at the close, they're back up above where they were before, $79.78.
Yes.
While they took a marketing hit, a image hit, obviously the bottom line is the stock prices, and they are rebuilding. And they've actually learned from it. They put in a new president. They've been rebuilding. The new president's been talking about how they're fixing things. Last night I was reading that they have significantly dropped their overbooking status. Mm-hmm. So if you can learn from your mistakes, great.
You know, you do the crisis communications for all kinds of different entities, for companies, but also for, I'm guessing, individuals. I mean, Ann Coulter would be considered a brand. She's got her own brand. How would you counsel her in this situation?
Less is more. That's always the case, is don't continue on this rant. And again, she was starting to defend her actions in some of these tweets against The View and someone criticizing her that she was tweeting all day. And why? There's a time when it becomes an ego. And this Twitter activity where everyone is, we no longer get the news by getting a newspaper walking into our doorstep.
Right.
You look around and everyone is crossing the street with their head down, and that's how they're getting their news. And their cars, they don't know what cars are around because they're getting their news from their phone because their head is always down. And that's a little bit of an ego now, too, because Twitter has done that to people. It's given them such a big ego boost. I think the number one Twitter follower, Twitter is Katy Perry.
Right.
And Ann Coulter's 1.6 million, that's not anything to shake a stick at. But she probably got fed into the beast a little bit more than she should have. And again, I would have just said less is more and stop defending and screaming on the internet.
And two, the airlines, you mentioned earlier how it seems to be everybody taking their anger out on airlines via social media. How does Delta overall deal with this? Because I was going through they seem to respond to everybody who tweets at them.
I noticed that, too, their tweets and responses, and they're responding with initials, which means they're actually adding a human behind their Twitter account, which is number one. Mm. You know, social media is one thing when it's a corporation or whatever, but when a human is behind the Twitter response, that's something that's more important because now you're really dealing with a human, and there are people that run corporations, folks, and they actually do care for the most part, and they want to care. And so, yes, Delta's using three initials for whoever is answering, but and they also say, direct message me your ticket number if something is wrong. We are sorry we lost your phone on that flight. It'll probably take 4 to 5 days. Direct message us. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Delta is doing very well in the Twitterverse world that we live in about responding. But that also goes to show people are going to Twitter to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost easier. Well, I guess it is easier than calling the customer service line and waiting on hold. And sometimes I know I've done that before with DirecTV. You get somebody immediately when you use social media sometimes. Are we moving into the position where that will be probably the only way we communicate with these companies anymore?
There's no question. In the first quarter alone, there's a Twitter stat out that there are 328 million active users in the world. So you know that you are going to get a response much faster on social media because social media there's no off-on switch. While customer service call centers probably have a lighter period than a heavier period for personnel, you can't ignore social media. Social media right now is more important than traditional media, and is more important than any traditional communication vehicle we've ever lived through.
And listen, the good thing is the technologists are working on the alert that when you're looking down at your phone crossing Wacker Drive, it'll beep at you when cars are coming. So.
Oh, I don't have that yet.
It's coming.
Listen, I know some people who need that too.
In a big way, right? Listen, thanks for coming in today. As always, it's good to see you.
Thank you.
Lisa Druss from Serafin & Associates in Chicago. A little bit of Crisis Communication 101 this morning.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures are pointing upwards, but really sort of a flat situation involving the NASDAQ and the S&P. Oil is trading higher this morning. Gold and silver higher as well. Let's get more on commodities and agriculture now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The weekly crop condition reports pretty much came in as expected yesterday after trading ended. The corn condition, according to the report, shows 64% of the corn crop rated good to excellent. That's down a percentage point from a week ago. And soybeans, 61% good to excellent, 62% a week ago. So both of those numbers down as expected, about 1%, probably not much of an impact on the grain market. Looking at the grain market yesterday, the wheat futures fell to a two-week low, while Minneapolis Exchange spring wheat gained 1%. In wheat, spreading as dry conditions stress the spring wheat crop in the northern plains. And at the end of the session yesterday, we saw the September wheat crop down 4¾ cents at the Board of Trade. September corn was unchanged. New crop December down 0.25 cents. August soybeans down 3½ cents. November beans down 3¾. Lean hogs got some support yesterday from cash price discounts, and as a result, at the end of the trading session, only the nearby July contract was lower, down 25 cents a hundredweight. August lean hogs up 90 cents. And August live cattle ended the day down 42 cents yesterday, but the rest of the months were higher. October up 35. August feeder cattle ended the day 55 cents a hundredweight higher. And that's your money on 720 WGN.
Thanks, Orion. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, July 18th, 2017. The National Association of Home Builders releases the Housing Market Index for July. Treasury releases international money flows data for May. Lots of earnings today, including Chicago-based United Continental Holdings. They will report after the market closes today. United Health Group, Inc. reports quarterly financial results. Johnson & Johnson is out today. Bank of America Corporation and CSX Corporation reporting quarterly financial results after the market closes. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, July 18th.